opinions expressed by the hosts, callers, and guests are not those of New Jersey 101.5, Town Square Media, or station advertisers.
.609 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you. Till 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. So it is Friday. We got a busy Friday ahead. Of course, it's Blue Friday. I've got a couple folks calling in today about what's happening this weekend. Veterans Day coming up next week. So I will be in Kinnelon honoring veterans on Saturday morning. And I've asked our good friend Sean Mabee from the Kinnelon Council to call in and tell you about the event happening Saturday. Then we'll be in Atlantic City on Saturday evening. And then I've got an event on Sunday in Lawrenceville. Helping Homefront will be at Kulak Arms on Route 1 for a it's a car show from 8 a.m. until 11. So looking forward to that. So just check out my social media and the website, nj1015.com, for details. Jen Ursillo, what is going on in Newark?
Please.
How many flights are canceled? I heard you talking about
it. Yeah, I think yesterday it was 650.
Is that all?
Yeah, that's it. And then this morning, it's like we're up to like 40-something. You know,
wow. Yeah. And these are flights that are being canceled not for 5 weeks from now.
No.
Today. So you're headed to the airport.
Yeah.
Check your app. Call if you have to.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed with Newark, I mean, it's been bad for a while, but the they change gates so often.
Yes.
So I've been burned with parking.
Yep.
Park at Terminal A, then you find out. On the walk in,
you're in C.
That you're at C.
Yeah, and you got to take the shuttle.
It's so inconvenient.
I know.
I have grown to hate Newark Airport. Philadelphia International is so much better.
It's I heard you talking about. Yeah, I like Philadelphia Airport. I do.
It's not even close.
I do.
I mean, it's like they're not even playing the same game as Newark. And we spent, I don't know how much that Terminal A cost, $1 billion. I mean, it's beautiful.
You got a deal. Wow.
Right. But if you're headed to, imagine 650 flights. Was that yesterday?
That was yesterday. This morning, I think we're up to like 40 something. And it's going to keep getting worse because the plan is to cut 10% of flights during this air traffic controller shortage. And it's not just Newark. It's like the top 40 airports. So Philadelphia is in there. Newark is listed, Teterboro, JFK, LaGuardia.
So to give everyone an idea, mm-hmm. in and out of Newark International Airport, Liberty, whatever they're, you know, EWR. There are more than 1,000 flights every day. So between 1,000 and 1,100 flights a day. So that means more than half the flights were canceled yesterday.
Yeah.
And now you're at 40 already.
And United is their hub. Their hub is Newark. So they have a bunch of flights, you know. International seems to be okay. From what I'm understanding.
I was just about to ask that because Elizabeth and Charlie are coming back for Thanksgiving.
Aw.
Yeah.
Let's hope they're okay by then.
Yeah. Well, my advice was look for a flight to JFK.
They're affected too.
I just think,
JFK, LaGuardia, Philly. Yeah, I mean.
Potts, where do you fly out of?
As much as I hate flying, if I have to fly Philly, I don't want to go to Newark.
Yeah.
Newark's in.
No, I think it's getting worse.
By the way, every time a ding happens, another flight's canceled. So we heard the ding.
That's what it is. It's like It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes.
When the bell rings, an angel gets his wings. When my phone dings, that's a flight being canceled.
And
it
may not be too far off, though. That's probably true. But
right, with the amount of dings.
Yep.
So question for you this morning. Are you an air traffic controller? Are you a staffer? Are you a part of a flight crew? What's going on from the standpoint of our workers out there? Now, for air traffic control, you guys I feel for because you're not getting paid. with the government shutdown. And, you know, the idea that people vilify government workers. I was having this conversation the other day that part of the challenge and one of the reasons why Republicans continue to lose in New Jersey is that they too quickly come off as the party that is anti-government worker, anti-teacher, and that is very far from the truth, but it's all in the optics and all in how you present yourself. And when you talk about budget cuts, when you talk about how to rein in overspending, it's not about the guy making 60 grand a year who's trying to put food on his table. It's about the guys in the back room that are lining their pockets with millions of dollars, at least hundreds of thousands in many cases, on different government deals and contracts, et cetera. So, you know, look at members of Congress and the money that they make and how you go into a congressional seat to earn $150,000 a year and you walk out a multimillionaire. And in part, you can point to our incoming governor with the $7 million she made. But, you know, Jack was too inept to make that enough of a campaign issue. The legal corruption is bad, but I want you to know that I feel for you. If you're an air traffic controller, if you're part of the government that's not getting paid and you're showing up for work, good on you. And if you can't get to work because you had to get a side job to pay the bills, I understand. It's certainly not your fault. But I do want to hear from you if you work for the government and you're not getting paid, or if you are a part of an airline crew, whether you're flight attendant, pilot, either or, what's it like now with the massive flight cancellations? Is it actually getting easier because there are fewer people, or is it a complete madhouse and mayhem? I'm very concerned with Thanksgiving coming up. 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 6:15 is the time. Traffic on the next.
Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X, or visit NJ1015.com for the latest Jersey news and updates. New Jersey 101.5.
Belmar's 32. In, what else we got 32? Asbury Park is 32. It's also 32 in, it's funny, it's a statewide average, but only a couple places actually are at 32. Phillipsburg's at 31. Somerville's freezing. Jill, it's 27 degrees in Somerville. You kidding me? Come on. Ugh. Princeton, 27 degrees. Fast traffic, instant weather every 15 minutes on New Jersey, 101.5. So two things that I think are important to cover right now.
All right.
Number one, somebody broke the damn water cooler.
Yeah.
Who broke it?
Well, nobody broke it, but it's like,
sure?
It needs to be cleaned. They dismantled it to keep us all from
it. Looks
drinking
like a field operation out there. You got the guts are all hanging out. What's going on?
Yesterday, Sergio and Annette, they were doing water taste testing. I was just...
What happened? So Sergio tasted it and it tasted a little moldy?
Yeah.
Come on, stop
out of the sink or out of the machine?
Yeah, penicillin's
no, out of the machine.
The water cooler.
You don't drink the water out of the sink. Good God, who's doing that?
Nobody's cleaning
sometimes.
That
spigot.
That's like,
come on, you were a Marine. Suck it up.
Yeah, well, look. You
us
know
Army
what?
Guys will drink the water.
Is that what it is?
drop a little tablet in it. You know,
no, so I went
it.
And now, will the company reimburse me for this? I had to buy water.
Oh,
no
really?
Water. So this cost me $1.73.
Out of that machine?
And it's warm.
Oh, really?
Have you been to the vending machine? The vending machine does not work.
So either we get microplastics from the water bottle, that water bottle, or we get Giardia.
The Trenton water or whatever mold is coming out.
All the candy bars are melted in that thing, too.
I think we have an issue, actually, I'm thinking.
Unfair work practices.
That's what it is. Before we go too far,
but we do have nice carpet and flooring.
Well, the carpet and
smart
flooring
carpet.
Is and very energy efficient lighting. And
yes.
I want to thank Ron Urban.
There
we
go.
Thank you, Ron, for putting a dimmer switch in. We now have.
I like this lighting.
Mood lighting.
You know, the lighting here is pretty good. Now, I don't know if the cameras are working, but look, we walk before we run. We walk before we run.
And
baby
we're walking
steps.
On 1-800-526-RUGS.
Is that who
smart
did
carpet
that?
And flooring, yes.
Is that who did it?
Did a great job.
Thank you.
Wait,
I thought you meant my singing.
Wait, what's the jingle again?
1-800-526-RUGS.
You know, it's funny. I always think of The Princess Bride when you say that jingle.
Oh, really?
RUGS. I think of rodents of unusual size. Remember?
Yes.
ROUSs. That's what, every time I hear that jingle, I think of rodents of unusual size, the R-O-U-S's.
Another glimpse inside Bill Spadia's head.
Right, that's where my brain
went. That was brought to you by Smart Carpet and Flooring. Now you know how his
brain
works.
Well, I have to say, Smart Carpet and Flooring, they did, not only did they do a good job, but it's, there's no weird smell.
Yeah, have you noticed that? The same. Now we have
there's
some,
no smell.
Yeah.
It's like, because I expected, I saw the glue and the way they were, the guys were efficient, they were fast, they got the floor down, and it looks really nice.
Yeah.
They did a nice job.
They did a great job.
Real quick, plug Morgan, our newest small business guy, I hope he calls today.
Because
I want to talk to him. Morgan, what is it, Morgan's Caribbean
Morgan's
Grill?
Morgan's Island Grill in Hightstown. Yeah, I just, oh my gosh, he is shot out of a cannon, that guy. I love him. And he's collecting food for Jamaica. So there was like a big, huge corner of, and the boy is the town gathering. Hightstown's a really cool little
downtown. It's a great
downtown,
town.
You know? Hightstown. But yeah, he loves you. He's like, oh, Ben. And even was promoting another restaurant in the town, 12 Farms, that you love.
I love 12 Farms. That is that is a fantastic place. So Morgan, if you're listening, Jody and I are going to get out to Morgan's Island Grill, just because I'm looking, I don't know what that is. It looks,
you know,
like
what, Bill?
Cheese,
it just tasted like the Caribbean. That's the thing. As soon as I walked in, they had their patties, which, you know, some are filled with.
Did you know
jerk
mac and cheese
and
is popular in the Caribbean? Did you try it?
Probably,
I only know that because I'm reading on his website. The jerk chicken looks incredible.
Oh, I had the jerk chicken yesterday, oxtail, but it's just that.
Wait,
taste.
You had the oxtail?
Yeah.
How was it?
It was good.
Yeah.
It was good. It fell right off the bone.
So go to MorganIslandGrill.com for a great small business in Central Jersey.
Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I want to go. I think it looks really
great.
Does it
and
do
a lot
takeout?
Of people were coming in and out grabbing takeout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right, so two things. One, if you have a business to plug, it's Friday and we've got the weekend coming up. Or if you have an event coming up this weekend that you'd like to plug and get on the air, feel free to do it. But I can't not talk about what's going on at the airports. This is ridiculous. First of all, there is no question that this shutdown is a complete product of the Democrats' desire to fund illegals. That's what's going on. They refuse to acknowledge the massive, massive fraud and waste that goes on in the SNAP program, in all of our government entitlements. They simply refuse to acknowledge that. And as a result, normal, average people that just want to go to work and earn a paycheck are not working. And now the airports are a mess. And let me tell you, before the government shutdown, Newark Airport was an absolute disaster from go. So the reality is, this is making a bad situation worse. Are you working in the airline industry, working at the airport and headed to work today? And what are you expecting over the weekend? Or are you flying out of Newark and are you waking up and listening to me? And right away, I just ruined your morning. My apologies, but we'd have the government open if we were in charge. All right, Tom, you'll be first on the other side of the news with Jen Ursillo next, 627. Six 6:37 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. Tony in East Windsor sent us a note in the app chat. Morgan's is fantastic. How about that? People are like responding to Morgan's Island Grill.
We got a call, right?
Tom in Hillsboro wants to talk about Morgan's Island Grill. Jill, what have you started this morning? Morgan's Island Grill, baby.
Caribbean,
I love it.
For breakfast. That's a terrible accent. I can't.
I don't know if that was a Caribbean accent. What was that? It was almost a little French.
I have no idea.
There was a little French in there, I think.
Well,
you've been listening to my conservative tour ads.
Jamaica's not French owned, right? No, okay.
All right. What's going on, Tom? Good morning.
Good morning. Two words for you at Morgan's Island Grill. It's a great spot near my work. Oxtail. Got to try it.
Jill just said that she had the oxtail. I've never had oxtail.
Yeah, you got to try it. And I have two other points because I didn't want to derail the conversation too much.
Go ahead.
First point.
That's what we
did. I got.
But he did anyway.
I had a tough time listening to the BPU commercials every other news break. You got BPU commercials going with the sales team, and then on the flip side, we're talking about the reality, right? make you want to throw up. And then the third part about the SNAP.
Yeah.
You know, maybe having the SNAP benefit.
Just, I want to just say one thing, though, Tom. Tom, let me just say one thing. The Democrats and sometimes the Republicans, they love to find the boogeyman, right? They always want to blame somebody. So, like, they make the BPU the bad guy. They make the PJM the bad guy. The reality is the bad guy when it comes to energy are the politicians on both sides of the aisle. The Democrats for being woke and pretending that my driving a gas-powered SUV is somehow destroying the environment. I mean, it's ridiculous. It is so absurd that you really shouldn't even have to have a conversation about it. The reality is that the woke Democrats have forced this climate change agenda. And for those of us that have half a brain and can read, you know that the climate is always changing. It's about a 1,500-year cycle. It was a lot warmer, even right here, 1,500 years ago than it is today. And, you know, you look at, they've done the studies and the tracking of where the vineyards were and how the elevation in Europe was much higher a couple thousand years ago than it is today. So it's absurd. The earth is actually cooler now. But that said, the policies that they enact have resulted in a diminished production. And when you limit the supply and the demand goes crazy, the prices go up. It is that simple. So we are living through an economic torturing from the Democrats. And the sad thing is the Republicans let him do it. One of the reasons that Cittarelli lost is he had zero understanding of this policy. And he went from literally advocating, don't laugh, for floating windmills. That was his big proposal. And I didn't even take the time to dig deep on a floating windmill because it sounds so stupid on the surface. But when you've got Republicans that refuse to fight and refuse to lead, you end up with Democrats. I said it yesterday that the people are so annoyed at Republicans that they're literally reelecting and voting for the same party that has created the affordability crisis because Republicans don't offer them any solution. Anyway, I just wanted to clear that up. Go ahead.
Last thing about the SNAP benefits,
mm-hmm.
You know, maybe clearing up some of the issues with the SNAP benefits would help promote some of our food banks and our community centers that we do have and actually put those things to use. So maybe the SNAP benefits aren't used for candy bars and sodas. Maybe they'll actually be used for good food at a community food bank.
Well, you know,
maybe there's a silver lining here.
It's an interesting thought, but our food banks are challenged as well. You know, we talk about people being challenged in the fact that they can't get a decent meal. They're skimping and saving, and you know they're making decisions on whether or not they feed the dog today or feed the themselves. I mean, we're in a bad situation now, and people are struggling. Right, Tom?
If somebody's on SNAP benefits and they have a dog and they can't afford to feed it, there's a bigger problem.
Yeah, but think about it though, Tom. Our dogs live to 13, right? So over 13 years, you buy your kids a dog, then you lose your job. You know, what do you do, right? You're like
social responsibility, I think it boils down to, right?
But think about the decisions that we're asking people to make, Tom. Let's just play it out, right? You got a single mom that has that rescues a dog. So she didn't spend thousands of dollars on it. Rescues a dog. Kids are happy with the dog. And she's working two jobs to make ends meet. All of a sudden, the jobs go away. Now she's on government benefits. And the benefits are so corrupted because so many people are abusing them that the woman who is working hard to put food on her table for her kids is the one that suffers. The scammers out there don't care. They just go to the next thing. And I don't understand how the Democrats, Chuck Schumer in particular, and Cory Booker, who, by the way, is up for re-election next year and will win handily because the Republicans have yet to even hint at who a candidate will be. They've got no organization. They just elected John DeMeo to run the assembly after he has lost 11 seats in the last 4 years. So the problem, Tom, is why is it that it's totally politicized? How come both sides of the aisle don't want to dig in, roll their sleeves up and say, we have money to support people who have fallen through the cracks? why are we allowing the system to be so abused?
Yeah.
Right?
Goes back to that common sense.
Common sense. Common sense. And common sense is not Republican or Democrat. But anyway, thank you, Tom. And thanks for the plug on Morgan's Island Grill. Have a great day and stop there for lunch today. All right, let's go to Malik in Asbury Park. What's going on, Malik?
Hey, what's up, Bill? How you doing?
Good, man. I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. Hey, listen, yeah, Jamaican food is really good, but they don't have macaroni and cheese. It's kind of like macaroni and cheese, but they call it macaroni pie. So basically with our macaroni and cheese, you know, you make the macaroni and cheese with whatever kind of cheese you're making, and you bake it.
You're saying by hour, like you're talking about Jamaican.
Right, I'm talking about like the difference between like soul food macaroni and cheese and Jamaican macaroni
all right,
and cheese.
What's the difference? Because I think I'd like both.
Okay, right. So soul food macaroni and cheese is made with elbows and they bake it.
Yep, okay.
And,
got it.
They make theirs with, if they have elbows, if they have penny pasta, whatever kind of pasta that they have, that's how they make their macaroni pie. So that's why they don't call it macaroni and cheese. They call it macaroni pie.
All right. So to be fair, Morgan's Island Grill does call it mac and cheese. But you're saying culturally, Jamaicans call it macaroni pie. I got to tell you, man, Malik, it's only 6:45 and I'm done. I'm hungry now. I didn't get hungry until 8:30 yesterday.
The rest of the show, you're going to be starving.
Eric, I'm so mad. Now what I'm thinking about is macaroni pie. That just sounds good, doesn't it?
Oh, I got some chicken right now in my freezer marinating with some jerk sauce. I make my own homemade jerk sauce.
Really?
And when I get home, I'm going to be cooking some of those up.
I love it. Malik, enjoy it, man. It's the weekend. It's Friday. Enjoy the. At some point, and if you feel up to it, you want to go on the app chat and share that jerk sauce recipe. I'm just saying, it'd be okay with me. All right, man. Have a great rest of your day. Enjoy the weekend. Thanks, Malik. Derek, you'll be first on the side right now. Though 6:46, traffic and weather next.
Where you can stay connected to everything happening in Jersey. This is New Jersey 101.5.
Fast traffic, instant weather every 15 minutes on New Jersey 101.5. All right, let's jump right back in. We were talking about macaroni pie. That's what we were talking about. Malik, thank you for bringing that up. All Eric Potts and I have been talking about. Eric Potts is in for Kathy today, running the board. Charlie's in. Intern Charlie is here.
Charlie is in the house.
Well, producer Thomas is out. He's got some tooth thing going on. I don't know.
I feel sorry for him after I heard what he's going through.
Right? What are they, pulling his wisdom teeth?
All four of them coming out.
Is that what they're doing? He thinks he's coming back next week. Yeah. I said, see, you're crazy.
He goes,
four wisdom teeth.
He says, it's not going to be too bad. I go, hopefully you're right, but I remember it, and it hurt pretty bad.
I have never had that done. They never came in, or they didn't. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you didn't have it. Mine were all four of them were impacted, and it hurt.
Yeah, I'll bet that I've heard that is a really, it's a tough recovery. Even today with all the modern medicine and painkillers, everything else I got. So best wishes to producer Thomas, but intern Charlie doing a great job this morning. The ads are stacked. I mean, we're in good shape.
Although, and I just have one thing to say to you.
What's that?
Macaroni pie.
Macaroni pie?
Yeah.
I'll be thinking about that macaroni. I'm now going to chase the macaroni pie. So
you're going to get some right after? You're going right there?
I'm thinking of going right to Morgan's Island Grill after the show. All right, let's go to Derek in Middlesex. You want to now change the subject to SNAP benefits. What's going on, Derek?
Yeah. Hey, what's up? Thanks for taking my call, Bill. I got a concern about...
Tell me.
We're so concerned about the SNAP benefits right now when individuals are... This thing is at a pause and this thing's the heightened on the newspaper. Why don't we figure out who's on SNAP right now? Really, I literally know people that abuse the system right now, and it's like a joke to them. So if I know a small amount of people, why don't we just evaluate, like, who's on it, who's really needs it, and start from there, no? Or am I wrong?
No, Derek, you're 100% right. The problem is, the minute you look into it, we have two problems. The first problem is that you start looking into this, and right away, Democrats and their shills in the media call you a racist. If a majority of the folks that are collecting locally are black or brown families, they're like, you're racist. Well, that's not fair. If you look into the extraordinarily high government subsidies that go to Lakewood, New Jersey, you question that, they tell you you're an anti-Semite. So and you know there's so much abuse that's going on, but the minute you call it out, you're the bad guy. Now, here's the advantage that I have. I don't care what they call me. I think what's going on in Lakewood is absolutely abusive. What's going on in Newark and Camden and Trenton, abusive. And what makes me angry is there are truly poor people living in Lakewood, Trenton, Newark, and Camden who deserve our kindness and generosity. And I have no problem paying taxes to feed people who can't get three meals a day. I'm okay with that. I actually think that is a mark of a civilized, good society. The problem, Derek, is nobody wants... I just got a note on X. Somebody sent me a note angry because, do you have documented proof, affidavits, that there is abuse in the SNAP system? Are you kidding me? There's so much abuse in government spending, right? So think about that, Derek. Yeah, now I got to go do my own research and I don't mind it. That's my job. But we need more people to do what I do, which is stand up, shout from the rooftops and say, I am tired of the abuse that is hurting real people who need help. So you're spot on, Derek. Spot on. Have a great weekend, man. 657. Jen Ursillo with your news in 3 minutes.
Connect to the show anytime by sending us a message through our app. Just tap on Chat with Hosts, only on New Jersey 101.5.
7:09 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. So, you know, after the 8:30 news, we'll have Blue Friday. Got a special honoree to talk about today. And after traffic and weather at 8:15, I'll be joined by my good friend, Assemblyman Jay Weber. If you follow me on social media, you saw what happened yesterday. The Republicans simply can't get out of their own way after a shellacking on Tuesday night. And not only the weak campaign at the top of the ticket, but guy that spent the whole primary saying the reason to nominate him is he would have coattails and bring about a majority in the assembly, somehow found a way to tank all the Republicans across the state, and the Republicans lost 5 seats. Now, in particular, the head of the Republican Assembly Caucus, John DeMeo, got reappointed from the caucus to head up the Republican Minority Caucus after losing now in two successive elections, a total of 11 seats. The Republicans have gone from 34 members in the assembly to now the new session will start with 23. That's how bad it is. So, you know, what's the saying, right? The definition of insanity is keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. Now, they did the same thing in the state Senate, and Tony Bucco is now head. And this is the guy, if you remember, I've told this story. He called me screaming. I mean, if I had a dime for every time I had a politician calling me screaming about a show I did, man, I don't know, Eric. I could retire. Like that's
you'd be a rich man if you.
If I just went to the hater meter and said, you know what, penny for your hate, I could probably retire. But our cup runneth over on the hater meter from election night, so we'll have a very special election night hater meter that we'll have on Wednesday. But I say this because Senator Bucco, the problem there is he's been watching Morris County slip away. Morris County was solid red and is now shifting blue to the point where my friend Christian Baranko, who fought the good fight, good guy, great member of the legislature, but he lost his seat. I want to congratulate Assemblywoman Ara Dunn for running a fantastic race and winning re-election. But, you know, there are problems. And the problem with Bucco is that he'll tell you the reason Republicans lose is they're not liberal enough. He actually, to a point during COVID, if you remember, he was running for re-election. I'll never forget it. And he had a fundraising event at a restaurant called Jockey Hollow. I understand they have since gone under. But the owner required vaccine proof or he wouldn't let you in the restaurant. So I called Tony out on this. I'm like, how can you possibly stand up for medical freedom and take endorsements and money from people that are fighting against these mandates and have a vaccine only event? And you know what he told me? Yeah, I mean, it literally blew my mind. He said, no, don't worry. The Max donors don't have to show their cards. I mean, that was the end of being cordial with Bucco. Because I'm like, okay. And when I called him out on the air, he called me in the cell phone screaming bloody murder, so angry. And look, I've had tough conversations with politicians. I had a tough conversation with Congressman Chris Smith in 2022 when he voted for Biden's budget. And, you know, look, guys, you know me. I don't pull any punches. Sometimes I make the consultants that I work with and the strategists very nervous because I'm the guy that they'll tell me, hey, get up there. The pitcher's throwing a little wild and he's going to walk you on four pitches. And I go out and swing at the first pitch. But look, that's what I do. And I do it purposefully because it is really important that we have honest conversations. And what you'll never get from me, and I'm going to be very honest with you. I don't know if I'm ever going to run for office again. But what you'll never get from me is partisan talking points to somehow curry favor with Republican donors or backroom lobbyists. I don't care what they think. I will present the case on behalf of the people of New Jersey, for all the people who are struggling, the people who are fighting every day to put food on the table, the cops and the firefighters and the teachers who are just trying to do their job. I'm going to fight for you. And that means I will call out, especially Republicans, because I do believe that the number one problem in New Jersey is the woke Democrats go unchecked because of weak Republicans. We just saw the spineless Chitterelli, unprincipled, no moral compass, get blown out on Tuesday. And now we know 2021, that close race was a total fluke. That was Democrats staying home. That was nothing that Chitterelli did. So we need a reset with the Republican Party. And over the next couple of weeks, I'm going to talk to you about what that means in terms of the upcoming congressional primaries in 2026, the upcoming legislative primaries in 2027. Believe us now, we will be on this, laser focused on districts that need better Republicans. 1-800-283-101.5 is my number. 7:15 is the time. Traffic and weather next.
Where news, talk, weather, and traffic come together to keep you informed and connected to everything Jersey. This is New Jersey 101.5.
Out there, it's a beautiful morning. 7:22 on New Jersey 101.5. I don't have to tell you, you know, fast traffic, instant weather is every 15 minutes on New Jersey 101.5. I want to get your opinion. First of all, I want to thank my friend, Dr. Craig Wax. He just sent me a note that he just dropped his son off at Philadelphia International on time, no delays, all good. Those early flights are what you want to get out on. And I'm a little concerned about Thanksgiving coming up. Do you have folks flying in for Thanksgiving? Are you hosting this year? Jody and I are hosting at our house, and we've got, of course, I've got kids all over the literally eight time zones apart. So Mike will be flying in from San Diego, and Elizabeth and Charlie heading in from London. But all three are on three different flights at different times, different days. So we'll see how this works out. Elizabeth is planning on coming in through JFK. The flights, it was too, I don't know, it was a little too inconvenient, Philly, with the time, with the flights and the overnight and the delays, et cetera. But anyway, we'll see what happens. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I wanted, on a serious note, because I've got a lot to get to today, I want to ask you this question, and I don't mean to bring up a tough subject on a Friday, but this car accident has me thinking. I'm sure you heard about it. Jenner Silla was talking about the plea deal. These three teens, the driver, the alleged driver was 17 at the time of the crash. 118 mile an hour crash. They ran a red light and killed a young couple. So there were four people in the car. This young couple that were on a path to get married, Kylie Armstrong and Evan Fiore. And Kylie's sister, twin sister, was in the car with her boyfriend, and they were seriously injured, spent 2 weeks in the hospital. It's bad. You know, and these three kids, Carlos, Jake, and Ryan, who are being tried as adults because they're all 18 now, and, well, Jake is 20, they were offered a plea deal of 30 years for the driver and 20 years for the two passengers. And the evidence in part, I mean, it's grotesque, right? They're live streaming this thing, and they T-bone this car and kill these innocent young people. Horrible. What has me concerned is that the plea deal doesn't seem like something anyone would take, right? You would expect 30 years for driving a car that killed two people. I would expect that that's about what you'd get if you went to trial, but maybe it's 30 years each person. But what is not sitting well is a 20-year offer to the two passengers. I'm not sure how you get a 20-year prison sentence for being an idiot. Eric Potts, you were a police officer for your career. What was your thought when you saw this? Like, I'm sure you came up on scenes that were just utterly horrific as a cop.
That's why I look at it in that light. I've been there holding people's hands as they took the last breath in a car accident. So I've seen it.
Horrible.
So the driver, when I was 17, you knew when you were 17, yeah. I'm sure too, that this is wrong. I shouldn't be going 120 miles an hour. These are the consequences if I have an accident. So you know that. So you don't give me the excuse that he was 17, he didn't know. So the driver absolutely should face at a minimum 30 years. And the passengers, they're not going to plead out to 20 years for saying, yeah, step on the gas, go, go, go. They shouldn't be looking at that long. I mean, they certainly bear some responsibility, but not 20 years.
I think at that age, I think so. I think that group mentality of the three in the car, you should not get off scot-free. Two young people have had their lives just terminated, and I can't imagine what the family is going through. Happened at 11 o'clock at night. They were looping around Seaside Heights and headed back to Toms River, and they blew a red light. So here's my question for you. Do you think that 20 years is too harsh for each of the passengers in this BMW that was driving more than 100 miles an hour and killed two young people? Or do you think that this plea deal is fair or not enough? Should these kids, should the three lives, because you go to jail at 18 years old for 30 years or even 20 years, your life is effectively over. You try to come out of 40 years old, 50 years old, try to start a life. I mean, it's hard enough for those of us that are on the outside. If you lose your job at 50, to try to restart your life, I can't imagine getting out of prison. So the question is, do all three of them effectively deserve what I equate to a life sentence? 1-800-283-101.5. 727, Jen Ursula with your news next. 7:38 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadio with you till 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey, taking your calls. 1-800-283-101.5. I was talking about this BMW accident, three young men. The driver at the time was 17, the alleged driver. They all pled innocent. We'll see what happens with the trial. But it struck me that the Monmouth County Prosecutor's Office, so what happened was, three guys in a car, they're live streaming. Two of the guys are encouraging the driver, drive faster, go. They're totally reckless, 118 miles an hour. They blow a red light and they kill two young people and hospitalize two others for a couple of weeks. Horrible. Horrible. There should be severe punishment, even for the passengers to participate in that. I agree. Here's the problem. Prosecutor's office throws him a plea, 30 years in prison for the driver. He's 18 now, and 20 years each for the passengers. One is 20 and the other is 18. Now, they rejected the plea. I'm probably not the only one not surprised that they rejected it. You give a 20-year-old 20 years, he's coming out of prison when he's 40 for being the passenger in a car and being an idiot. Now, the driver, let's set him aside because I'm not so sure 30 years is enough time for killing two innocent people. But 20 years, look, you get out of prison and you're 40 years old. Think about yourself. You spend 20 years behind bars. That is almost a life sentence. I think there are a lot of people that are in their late 30s, early 40s that lose a job and have years trying to get back on their feet. I'm not, by the way, I'm not excusing this horrific behavior, but I think there's a conversation that should be had about punishment and a plea deal. I would have thought offer the guys 5 to 10 years for being the passenger and give them an opportunity to do right by society when they get out.
The 20 may not be, I mean, they may not have to do all 20. So that's there's a percentage that they.
What is it, 75%, 60%? It's something like that. There's a formula in this state.
There is.
But I think that if you're looking at that, and it's a smart point, and, you know, Eric Potts, former law enforcement, so you said something earlier, Eric, that was kind of chilling, that you've come up as a cop, rolled up on car accidents and held hands as people took their last breath.
More than once. I mean, quite a few times.
Those are jarring things. And so as a cop, I can understand you're looking at this driver thinking, man, give him 50 years.
Yeah.
I get it. Yeah. I'm. You know me. Hey, I'm not soft on crime, nor am I soft on criminals. I think punishment is a critical part of justice. But I think it sounds to me like a mistake that we're now going to end up in a trial with three of these guys, and you're going to drag the victim's family through this torment for the next potentially couple of years, and still end up in the same place. What do you think, Brian, on the Parkway? Morning.
Hey, good morning, Bill. So, I'm from that local community for the most part, Ocean County, Monmouth County area.
Yeah.
I look at it like this. Yes, there should be severe punishment for actually all three people. The two passengers were culpable, in my opinion, with the evidence that's been put out there. However, I think 30 or 20 years in a state penitentiary isn't going to change anything for anyone in this tragedy. So I think the prosecutor's office is failing in that they're not offering 10 or 15 years in prison and 10 or 15 additional years on paper or parole for all three of them. This way, everyone is held equally accountable and there's no chance of reoffending. And if there is a reoffense after that, then obviously those people have failed and not the justice.
Do you think, Brian, though, having heard some of the evidence and some of the stuff that's out there, you know, they live streamed it. I mean, it's really disgusting and grotesque. And I think they should send a message to other young people that you're basically ending your life if you go out there and kill somebody. I support all that. But don't you think the punishment for the driver should be much more than the passengers, or no? Is the right message to say we're going to hold the passengers equally accountable so the next time you don't get in the car or you tell your idiot friend we're not doing this?
It's a fair point. I really think that the passengers should be held equally accountable. What I've heard on it, they switched seats more than once. Everyone was partaking in the same activity. And, it's a tragedy for everyone. Nothing, you know, these people who did lose their lives don't come back no matter what.
No, they don't.
Everyone should be held accountable.
Yeah, it's
but
it's
I
fair.
Also don't think that, you know, 30 years across the board is what a plea bargain should be either.
No, because I think that's what they'll get if it goes to trial. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll get 30 years each for each count. I don't know. They're facing like 40 counts. They broke a lot of laws, and two young people are dead. So it's hard not to be a little bit emotional about this. That's part of the problem, right? When you hear victim impact statements and things like that, it's hard not to be a little bit like, whoa, throw away the key. These guys are just bad, bad seeds. Well, thanks, Brian. I appreciate the perspective you have. Have a great rest of your day. I get the point, and maybe that's why the driver is pleading not guilty, because if they were rotating and there were other drivers, should he do the full time because he was the one happened to be behind the wheel, where at any point along that journey, someone else could have been killed? That is not an unreasonable point to make. If I let my emotion speak on this, I my gut says, like, the 20 years is not enough. Don't offer him a plea. Just take him to trial, and just put him away. Like, enough already. Think about it.
But in this day and age, you run a risk of a jury.
And they get off scot-free.
Yeah, you run that risk.
That, I'm sure, is the problem the prosecutor is facing. By the way, I'm not coming down. I don't know the Monmouth County prosecutor. This is not a judgment either way on what they're doing. This is just, I wanted to ask this question because, you know, Potts, you've got a police perspective. I have a perspective of just, you know, having spent the last 10 years listening and talking and understanding the problems. And the problem of nonviolent crime in this state is wildly on the rise, and stupidity is on the rise. And now you get that what could have been the nonviolent joyride crime that translated into two unnecessary and horrifically tragic deaths. So I don't know. Maybe it's time we really throw the book at these guys and throw away the key. What do you think? Should the passengers be tried the same or offered the same level of punishment? And is 20 years too much for being in a car and encouraging your idiot friend to drive 120 miles an hour that ended up killing two people? 20 years enough or is it too much? 1-800-283-101.5, 745, Fast Traffic Instant Weather next.
Get the latest traffic and weather updates with the New Jersey 101.5 app.
Five. All right, guys, 753. On the other side of the news, I want to switch gears and give you an opportunity if there are events you have coming up this weekend. As I said, Jody and I will be at Kulak Arms on Sunday morning. They have a cool car show and raising money for Homefront, which does a lot of good work for people who are struggling in Trenton, in our state's capital. And a shout out to my friend Reed Gusciora, who is the mayor of Trenton. He is a liberal Democrat, but I can tell you Reed's heart is in the right place, and he has done as good a job as you could do at this point, where he has to fight with the entrenched Democrat bureaucracy and insiders just to get to the next step in Trenton. He has a very tough job and didn't need it, volunteered for it, and is doing a good job there. But we'll be there helping folks. And Kulak Arms is in Lawrenceville. My friend Richie Kulak does a great job helping local charities. And I'll be stopping by probably close to around 10 o'clock, hopefully a little before that. We're going to be in Atlantic City, and then we're heading to that event. But then on Saturday morning, I'll be speaking in Kinnelon at the annual Veterans Day event. And Sean maybe is a councilman in Kinnelon. Hopefully he's going to check in with us after 8 o'clock to give us more details on that. But I'm very much looking forward to that. So join me at these events if you can. In the meantime, if you've got an event coming up and you want to plug the event and help out a local cause or charity, phone lines are open. 1-800-283-101.5 is a number. 754 is a time. Traffic on with the next.
Stay connected with traffic and weather updates every 15 minutes right here on New Jersey 101.5.
It's 8:09 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you until 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey, taking your calls 1-800-283-101.5. So we're going to take a little break from the serious topics and talk about this coming up weekend. Can't wait. I'll be speaking in Kinnelon tomorrow. And I want to bring in Sean Maybe, who's a council member in Kinnelon, the great town of Kinnelon in Morris County. We love it. Big Veterans Day event tomorrow. How you doing, Sean?
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. So tell us about the event tomorrow. It's open to the public. It's free. We're going to honor our veterans.
Yeah, this is our fifth annual event that we throw up in the borough of Kinnelon. It's always a great event. We have usually a great turnout. It is open to everyone. We set up a whole hot and cold buffet and food. All veterans come eat free. It's just a great celebration of the men and women that have served the country. And Kinnelon takes a lot of pride in its country, yeah, and especially in its veterans.
You do an incredible job with this, Sean. I am really honored that you asked me to come back. I'm looking forward to honoring our veterans tomorrow, and I have some specific messages for them and the folks tomorrow, and all positive and good, and it's such a bright spot to be able to come together. And I think the weather's going to hold for us. It's going to be chilly, but beautiful. Now, I know the Black Hawk helicopter is not coming this year because of the government shutdown. Unbelievable.
The Democrat government shutdown has pulled the Black Hawk out this year, and it's also grounded the National Guard. National Guard post in Riverdale, Staff Sergeant Burroughs down there, he's a phenomenal guy. He's as heartbroken as I think we all are because they always have such a great time, and they appreciate the respect and the appreciation that all the folks that come to these events give them. But still, we have a great lineup. Our good friend Ronnie Brooks is going to be doing the national anthem.
Oh, I love Ronnie. I love it.
Yep. Coretta's going to be there singing. I have Pastor Chuck from the Church of Nazarene doing the opening prayer. He's a phenomenal guy. Does great.
Yeah, he does.
Lord's work. He's a great man. I have two keynote speakers. You're going to close out the ceremony, and as always, thank you for coming. We're always proud to have you up in Kinlawn. Sergeant Major Thomas Clark is going to be our keynote. Multiple tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. Actually served in Gitmo with Secretary of War Pete Hegseth.
Wow,
they're still good friends. We're honored to have him, and also we have Gene Spillane. He's a board member of the New Jersey Veterans Network, a good friend of ours.
That's
from
great.
Michael Ball.
Yep.
Gene also served a few tours in Iraq.
I love it.
Great man. We're looking forward to it. We'll have our same boy, the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts are going to be there. They'll do their ceremony.
I love it. The future of America. Sean, real quick, 10 seconds. Where is the event tomorrow so people know?
Yes, 130 Kinlawn Road. Kinlawn, New Jersey. Come on out and celebrate our great men and women who have served our nation.
Awesome. We'll see you tomorrow, Sean. Thank you, my friend. Starts at 10 o'clock.
Thanks, Phil.
We'll be there at 10.
Yes, sir. 10 a.m.
All right, brother.
10 a.m. sharp.
See you then. Take care. That is Sean Mabee. He is one of the good guys for sure, serving on council in Kinlawn. If you're in Morris County tomorrow, meet us in Kinlawn for this great event. All right, now let's check in with Morgan from Morgan's Island Grill. Morgan, how are you doing, man? Oh, wait a minute.
I can't get any of this lines.
Morgan, don't hang up. Our phone system just froze. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Morgan, hang on. What we're going to do is do me a favor, Morgan. Hang up and call back. For some reason, the phone line froze on you. Man, you can't make this stuff up, Jill. And I was so excited. I got to talk to him about the macaroni pie. I know he calls it mac and cheese, but macaroni pie? Come on.
I know.
All right. So, Eric, can we take a break now? Let's take a break now for traffic and weather. We'll go a little bit early, so we'll have a little more time because Assemblyman Jay Weber is calling at 8:15, so we'll do that. So, Morgan, call us back. I don't know. Jill, do you have his number? Do you have Morgan's number? All right, we'll take a break. We'll take a break now. We'll keep him on hold. We'll do it on the other side of the break. 8:14, Fast Traffic Instant Weather next.
Staying on top of the topics that matter to you, we are New Jersey 101.5.
Speaking of Parsippany, congratulations, Mayor Jamie Barbario. Big win, great mayor, good man, and you'll be hearing from him over the course of the next few weeks as he prepares for another term as the leader at the helm in Parsippany in Morris County. Okay, it's 8:20. Yesterday, I caused a bit of a stir talking about what was happening in the Republican caucus in the assembly. I don't have to tell anybody that Tuesday night was a disaster for Republicans. Cittarelli loses by 13 points, and opposite of what he said all through the primary about how he was going to bring about a Republican majority, Republicans lost 5 seats. I mean, it wasn't good. And what's unfortunate is that over the past 2 cycles, the Republican caucus in the assembly has gone from 34 seats now to 23. So 11 losses over 2 elections. And, you know, in an 80-seat chamber, you're getting to a point where you're giving the Democrats a veto-proof majority. You're giving the Democrats such strength. So I pointed out, I believe things need to change. Now, one of the voices of common sense and reason in the assembly, one of the not only good guys who has been fighting for his constituents his entire career, but a man that leads with principle. And, you know, we've had this conversation often about how important it is to have a strong, solid message, have the courage of your convictions, but hold convictions and be strong. His name is Assemblyman Jay Weber from Morris County. He joins me now. Jay, good morning.
Morning, Bill. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm glad you called. I think this is an important conversation to have with people as everyone's kind of looking ahead to what is next. But you had a really challenging experience yesterday just trying to stand up and question the logic of doing the same thing and expecting different results.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we're on a losing streak, a pretty bad losing streak. We haven't been this low in the Republican Assembly caucus since Watergate.
Wow.
So that's over 50 years. And I like the guys in leadership. You know, John DeMeo is a reliably conservative vote. I consider him a friend, served with him a long time. But when you're on a losing streak like this, I think it's reasonable to just say, hey, let's change leaders, right? Let's try something different. John, contribute your experience and knowledge, but let's let somebody else give it a try. And that was my proposal to the caucus, or at least I wanted to make the proposal to the caucus. Unfortunately, John and, you know, Brian Bergen and Krista Phillips in leadership, they shut down debate before we could even vote.
Wow. So there was no discussion, Jay. They just went to a vote.
I tried to open the discussion with my caucus mates to say, hey, should we be having an election now, or should we wait a few weeks? Let's figure out what happened, what went wrong, what can we do better, what's the plan going forward? Let's talk about this, and let's talk about who should be leading the caucus. And instead, leadership said, nope, we're going to move to table that. We're going to go right to the vote. And so there was zero discussion in caucus about who the leader should be before the vote. And frankly, that's the bigger outrage. I think we should change leaders. Some members of my caucus think we should stay the course. I don't understand that, but that they're entitled to their opinion and they're entitled to their vote.
And Jay,
when you
just
shut
to be
down
clear,
a member like that, I've been in the legislature for like 18 years. I've never seen that done in the Republican caucus. You shut down debate before a leadership vote.
And Jay, to be clear, you weren't angling for yourself. You were angling to have a conversation. Right.
Yes, I was angling for the conversation. I think, listen, there are a lot of talented, energetic, capable people who would take that job on in good faith and give it their best shot, just like John did. I mean, I think John tried his best.
Yeah.
The results aren't there. And so my proposal was, let's let somebody else try, not me. And frankly, I didn't have a slate. I didn't try to engineer anything and get my horse in there. Bill, if you had taken the 19 names who weren't in leadership, put them in a hat and picked four names out, I would have been okay with that, because something's got to change. And the 23 of us now, it's getting to be a smaller and smaller caucus. The 23 of us got to get together, figure out how to do better. Because we owe it to the people in New Jersey. We certainly owe it to the Republicans in New Jersey to put the best team forward we can. And, when you've lost a third of your caucus in 2 years, I just don't think you should be asking to lead the caucus again. And you certainly should be open to the discussion as to whether you should lead the caucus again. And I think that's even the bigger problem.
Do you feel it's almost like, I mean, I've heard this, and I've had this conversation with Senator Bramnick over the years, where he would get so frustrated when he was the caucus leader, and then in the Senate, where the Democrats would do that to the Republicans. Like, hey, you guys are too in the minority. We don't even want to hear what you have to say. And you'd get shut down. Were you surprised to have that same treatment in your own caucus room?
I was amazed. Because the irony was thick. We rightly complain about that all the time, that the Democrats will table our amendments or shut us down. I've never, ever seen it done in the Republican caucus. And for this leadership to be on this losing streak and then to act like that on top of it is really remarable. And so, listen, I said in caucus, look, we could have this conversation as a family in these walls, or we can have it outside these walls. And they chose to have the conversation very publicly. And frankly, that might be for the better, right? I think Republicans in the state ought to have a little peek into the mindset of its leadership. They get to weigh in, social media or at Republican clubs or state committees. Hey, what are we doing sending the same people to do the same jobs when the results have been so bad.
Yeah.
So maybe it's for the better that the discussion is more out in the open than behind caucus doors.
I'm glad you said that, Jay, because for perspective for everybody listening, these caucus meetings happen without the press, without the public. It's just the elected members of the assembly in their caucus room at the State House hashing these things out. And when you've got this mentality of just kind of bullying and shutting down conversation, then we don't, you know, the people on the outside that are voting never know that that happened. So their vote becomes less informed. So I want to thank you, Jay, for having the courage of your convictions. I said it on the outset of this conversation. You know, I admire you. I respect you. I value our friendship. And I want to thank you on behalf of all of our listeners, largest audience in the state, voters, that they deserve to understand how this works, because they certainly deserve better than what happened on Tuesday. So thank you. You and I will certainly be in touch, and I am here as a resource, whatever I can do to help.
Thanks, Bill. Hey, have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Enjoy the weekend, Jay. Best of the family. Jay Weber, a really, really solid, solid man, deserves his reelection, and I'm glad he won, and I hope this is not the last we're going to hear about this leadership battle in the Republican caucus, but shame on the guys that shut down debate. Come on, man. Do better than that. 828. Jenner Silla with the news next.
New Jersey 101.5 presents Blue Friday. Thanks to our sponsor, Jobs for Blue, the leading New Jersey provider of side job scheduling.
You know, pit bulls have a bad reputation, right, as a dog. But as I've been pointing out for years, there's a much bigger problem with owners of pit bulls than the actual hound. One afternoon last month, there was a dog in distress, happened to be a pit bull, in Atlantic City. And, you know, I think a lot of people would have looked past it and ignored this dog in distress because of the kind of dog it was. Well, not Atlantic City police officer Matt Schmidt. Officer Schmidt responded to a call about a tan and white pit bull who was reportedly abandoned in a vacant lot near the Venice Park neighborhood in AC. When he got there, Officer Schmidt was met by Officer Lauren Downey, who informed Schmidt that the dog was limping and had a concerning amount of redness all over his skin. The officers contacted animal control. They got there quick. And the process is they have something called a flex pole loop. And, you know, if you're in animal control, you know what that is. And they try to loop it around the dog's neck and pull him in. You know, it doesn't hurt him and it's safe. It's used for training. Well, this dog, even hurt and limping, too elusive for them, got away through a hole in the fence and dragged the loop with him. Officer Schmidt, thinking quickly, took off in pursuit of the dog, got him cornered by the bay, but the animal took a look at the officer, took a look at the bay, jumped in and started swimming away. Now, the bay's cold right now, and Officer Schmidt, fearing for the animal's safety, secured his weapon and his uniform with Officer Downey, and boom, into the drink he went. After several minutes of enduring the freezing cold bay waters, Officer Schmidt was able to take another flex pole in the water, get the loop around the dog's neck, and pull the animal in, and then swim to shore with him. It was amazing that he was able to do this. You know, now the dog's in good health and fine, and hopefully we'll find a forever home. Thank you, Officer Matt Schmidt and Officer Lauren Downey. But our Blue Friday honoree today, Officer Matt, for taking the plunge and diving into the bay to go save an injured pit bull. There's a reason why dogs are man's best friend, and I just love this story. And I want to thank Jill Myra, who's still here, because Jill, you're the one that you and Dan brought this to our attention. I guess you brought it to Dan.
Yes.
How did you hear about it?
Yes.
I love this story.
So I do some news on some of our sister stations, Atlantic City, you know, and WPG. And so I saw the story. I was like, oh, this is perfect.
It's so
Blue
perfect.
Friday. You know?
Yeah, and I love it because I wouldn't have known about it.
Yeah, just crazy. Yeah. I mean,
so thanks for bringing that up. And so Officer Matt Schmidt, thank you for what you do. Officer Lauren Downey, thank you for what you do. And although I don't have your names, if you are in Atlantic City Animal Control, big shout out to you guys. Thank you for everything that you do to keep these animals safe. And please, if somebody knows this story, and I'll, Jill, maybe you'll be able to find out. I'd love to find out when this dog gets a forever home.
Oh, yes. So, for sure. Maybe it has one. I don't know if it was lost.
This happened,
you know,
in October, so right. I don't, it was a couple of weeks ago. So I hope so. I don't know, but if anybody does know, please let us know.
Yeah.
And remember, Blue Friday, brought to you by my good friends at Jobs for Blue. They salute our first responders every week. Thank you for all you do. They are New Jersey's leader in side job scheduling for police officers. More than 200 police departments in their network. Jobs, the number 4, blue.com. Jobsforblue.com. Jill, I'm going to switch gears now because... Uh-huh. Wait a minute. Am I going to be set up again?
Is this Morgan's phone? Maybe it's his phone.
He's not even showing up on the board.
All right. So this is now strike two. So Morgan.
Poor Morgan. What's
going
on?
For whatever reason, Morgan.
Let's just see if Ann.
This is Morgan from.
Nothing's working.
Morgan's Island Grill.
You know what?
All right, guys. Everybody stay on the line.
Yeah.
He's with Morgan. He's killing
us. Morgan's killing the phone.
Morgan
is a firecracker, too.
It's I can't wait to talk to Morgan, because all I've been thinking about Morgan all morning is jerk chicken and the macaroni pie.
That's right.
And the oxtail. Hold
on. The oxtail. But also, just
so
a great
So here's what we're
going to
do. On behalf of Town Square Media, I want to apologize for all the listeners. This is now the second time that our phones have gone down. And it's a problem mainly because this is a talk show with call-ins. So when the phones don't work, it's kind of a problem. So, hey, guys, let me just say the floors are fantastic. Let me tell you what we need next. New phone lines. Now, here's what we're going to do. We are going to use the trusted bat switch and turn it on. And then off. So basically, I'm going to crawl under and unplug the system.
This is the
and
pink
plug
cord.
It back in, the famous pink
the
cord.
The famous pink cord. Well, the pink
the
cord
pink
is plugged
cord
into that box.
The pink cord is plugged into the box, and it looks like the box has failed.
I got shocked, so maybe the box.
Did you get shocked?
I did get shocked.
Oh, Eric got shocked. That could totally do it.
All right, Here's what we're going to do. We're going to reboot the system, and then we're going to go to Morgan, Ann, and Ron. And we're going to talk about...
We know you have nothing better to do than stay and hang on our lines.
We need you to hang on the line. All right, guys. 844. Fast traffic is the weather next.
Live and local radio with personalities who care about what you think. We are New Jersey 101.5.
Because I'm about to check in with Morgan from Morgan's Island Grill. Just a reminder, fast traffic, instant weather, you know the drill, every 15 minutes on New Jersey 101.5. All right, Ron, Mark, everybody hang in there. We are now, third time is the charm. Morgan
there?
From Morgan's Island Grill. What's going on, man?
Morgan?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey!
You go. Boy, it almost shut down the whole station today trying to get you on the phone.
Morgan has enough energy to power this station.
I got to tell you.
Yes.
Morgan, Jill Myra came in bouncing off the walls today. And, at 6:08, she's like, you got to try Morgan's Island Grill. Like, you got to get there. So I've been thinking about jerk chicken and macaroni and cheese and oxtail since 6:15 this morning.
Oh, my. Don't worry. I got you. Oh, my gosh.
Tell me. Let's start with the mac and cheese. And here's why. Because I had... we had a caller call earlier who's from Jamaica.
We were talking about you, Morgan, while you were sleeping. You didn't even know.
Yeah, you were sleeping.
I'm
having
oh,
my gosh.
You've
wow,
been the whole show
you
today. You're the whole
thank
show,
you,
Morgan.
Thank you.
So listen,
thank
so he you. Called Malik, and Malik said it's not mac and cheese. It's macaroni pie. Is that true?
It depends on where you're from.
Okay.
Some say mac and cheese. Some say macaroni pie. My beautiful wife say macaroni and cheese.
Well, then
and
we're going with her.
That bone behind that. Yes.
Smart men.
Right? So tell me about the preparation. What kind of cheese are you using? I'm so hungry right now.
Provolone, smoked gouda, spicy sharp. Yes. We don't use no eggs.
No eggs,
and,
no.
And no eggs, no eggs.
Yeah,
yes.
We don't need that.
Morgan, tell Bill about what were the patties? As soon as I walked in, you guys were.
Wait, Jill, hold on. Wait. No. Back to the cheese. Sorry. Hold on a minute. Yeah,
you can't forego the cheese.
I'm provolone and smoked gouda.
Bill gets emotional about
smoked
cheese.
Gouda. Yes, you got to have that smoked gouda.
Do you bake it? How is it?
We bake our macaroni and cheese. Everything we do in this restaurant is home cooking.
I love
so,
it.
you know, the world is getting away from home cooking, but not Morgan. We are here for home cooking.
I love that. All right. Now, Jill is dying to talk about the, what is it, beef patty?
I walked in. What were the patty? Yeah.
Tell me about it.
So the beef patties are, it's like opposite of empanadas, but we bake it. It's beef inside. It's filled with beef. So we have the beef patty. We have spinach patty. We have veggie patty for those who don't eat meat. We have the jerk chicken
patty. But everybody should eat meat. I don't understand this whole vegetarian thing.
But the bread on the outside.
I'm not a jerk. It's the spice and the flavor.
And then the oxtail. Oh, my God.
Tell us about the oxtail.
On the bone, falling off.
Oh.
It did.
How long do you cook the oxtail?
So the oxtail normally take like an hour and 45 minutes to 2.5 hours.
Wow.
2.5 hours.
You cannot cook it too fast. You have to take your time. It's right on top of the stove. We control everything. Open kitchen. All the customers see what we're doing back there. No MSG, no black pepper, no garbage. Just straight up old-fashioned cooking.
My stomach's growling.
Now, let me ask you. Mm-hmm. When I'm ordering the jerk wings, do I say MIG or MIG?
Anyone you want to say, Mr. Bell, if you say MIG, mild, spicy, sweet, we have the liquid gold with the pineapple and the jerk sauce.
Ooh. Okay, yes.
Super Bowl weekend 2004, in the state of New Jersey, we were number 55.
We should have some porn music playing while he's talking about this food.
Wait, the old pajama grab music. We need the pajama grab music.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm gonna surprise you guys. Like, you can't believe.
Morgan, I'm so happy to know you. I can't wait to come by the restaurant. I texted my wife, Jody, and I'm like, we're having jerk chicken.
Yes.
It won't be this weekend. We're away, but maybe next weekend I'll come by.
And let me tell you, Bill, like, I'm there, and townsfolk are just coming in because Morgan is collecting donations for Jamaica.
It's nice.
You know, which is wonderful. So there's all food and diapers and everything, like, in a big corner in the restaurant. Right, Morgan? And you are going to be sending this to Jamaica?
Yeah. So it was a bad hurricane in Jamaica.
Yeah, horrible.
It was really bad. Jamaica got horrible, got hit hard. And so last week, Saturday, I was crying inside of me, and I was like, what am I going to do? And I started praying, and I was like, I need to start. And I started purchasing some barrels and then reach out to the Morgan's Island Grill Nation. Then I called my wife, called family members, and then everything broke open. I texted Detective Maker from the Icetown Police Department. Mm-hmm. I just reaching out to people, and everyone was coming back. Churches, Morgan's Island Grill Nation, people was coming in, and just like, Morgan, thank you so much for what you do, what you're doing. Thank you. You're a good guy. You always go above and beyond because that's the way I live my life.
Morgan,
the way I want to be treated.
Morgan, you sound like just a stand-up guy. I can't wait to meet you in person. Let me ask you real quick. Do you want people to drop off dried foods, goods, canned goods, or are you collecting money?
Yes, sir.
Goods.
Anything they want to do. They
okay.
Do dry food.
All right.
Goods.
So,
if you want to leave a small financial donation, we're here. We're sending off most of these barrels this Monday morning. So I have my friends and stuff from the church coming in today to help me pack all these barrels up.
All right, so
15 barrels
to
Jamaica.
So the restaurants open 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., 8:30 on Friday and Saturday, 6 o'clock on Sunday. If you can get there before 8:30 today or sometime tomorrow, the address is 110 Mercer Street in Hightstown, New Jersey. And you can drop off a donation for the folks who are suffering in Jamaica. You know, come to give the donation. Stay for the jerk chicken and the mac and cheese.
You will taste, all of a sudden you'll feel like you're in the Caribbean
because
of the spices and the
Morgan,
herbs.
Thank you. I appreciate you. Go ahead.
You guys. And I thank you guys. And thank you, 101.5. I love you guys.
We love you, Morgan. Have a great weekend. I'll see you soon. It's morgansislandgrill.com. 857. Jen with your news next.
Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X, or visit NJ1015.com for the latest Jersey news and updates. New Jersey 101.5.
909 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. All right. We've got an hour left before the weekend kicks off for the morning crew. I hope you've got a great weekend ahead. Before I get to Ron in Middletown and Cliff in Neshannock, I want to talk to you guys about what you've got going on this weekend. But I want to check in with my good friend Mark Rizzoli. Mark is a former council member in Old Bridge, Middlesex County. He's a retired police officer and was a Democrat turned Republican and has made his comeback. And right now, if I understand it, Mark, your Ward 4 council seat, you are up by 100 votes. Is that right?
Well, it's been raining vote by mails as usual, so I'm down to 69. But you know what? We're hanging strong. Hey, listen, considering I've been running against two parties, we're doing very well.
Yeah, tell me about what happened. You and I were knocking on doors. You ran a very effective grassroots campaign, talking to everybody. And, you know, I don't know if you heard Jay Weber, Assemblyman Jay Weber, earlier in the show to talk about how it was the Republicans in the caucus that just shut down any discussion. They're going to pave the way for their guys, and that's it. And you ran against this in Old Bridge. The actual Republican chair was working against you.
Literally. I'm telling people not to vote for me. But, you know, here's the thing, Bill.
What's her name, Mark? What's her name?
Anita Greenberg Vella. She should resign.
Yeah, Anita Greenberg Vella is an absolute disgrace to the Republican Party, and to work actively against you running in Ward 4, thank God you won. I mean, do you think the lead's going to hold?
Yeah, I'm confident. Listen, thank God I had a great team. You know, Tim Howes, Robbie Kohler, Maggie Cucci. I mean, these are great people, along with my volunteers. But here's the thing. I got the most important endorsement that you need, not from some political hack. The voters award for the residents in the primary elected me to represent them, and the municipal chair failed to respect their decision. And that should be a problem with everyone. But I went out there, did my thing, walked, talked to everyone. But, you know, we also have bad actors within the other party who don't want me on it. They don't want someone on there who is not afraid to talk about issues, parental rights, public safety, standing with the cops, standing with parents against this insane curriculum that they want to transition children. You know, we have mutual friends. When you hear the Christian Kobos and the Christina Ballesteros of the world who go out there fighting, get dragged into court, parents want voices. You know, I've been attacked for speaking about these. They're like, why should a council person bring this up? Because it's real simple. Any elected official who don't defend a child shouldn't be in office.
That's bingo. And, you know, your point, you bring up Kristen and Christina, and you're right. I mean, the judge ruled in their favor. They were attacked viciously by the school librarian who was allowing for this nonsense to be in the school library. And Kristen just led the moms and said, no, we're gonna clean this up. And thankfully, she won. And it's a big deal. So, Mark, when will the dust settle on the rainstorm of vote by mail that happens every election season in New Jersey?
Well, exactly, election season. So we have some provisional ballots that have to be counted, and who knows if more vote by mails are going to pop up. Listen, I have no problem with the vote by mails, but this should end on election day. You know what? If you have a vote by mail on your kitchen table and you need extra time to mail it in on election, I mean, come on now. You know, we have to get back. You know, Phil Murphy and the New Jersey Democrats have turned our electoral process into a banana republic. Yeah, I mean, it's an absolute disgrace.
It is true.
Here's another thing, Bill.
Yeah.
How is it that people, Republicans, allow them, the New Jersey Democrats, to hijack the affordability? They have spent billions of dollars on the sanctuary state program. That's why your schools are not being funded.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, remember, Mark, you had a Republican nominee in Jack Cittarelli who supported driver's license for illegals, even as recently as the primary debates. Here's a guy that was a never-Trumper his whole career until he decided that he would just sell his political soul to get an endorsement, and it worked. So the problem is with some of these Republicans, they don't learn because they're never held accountable for not having any convictions. So Mikey Sherrill comes out and starts talking about affordability and caught the Republicans completely flat-footed. And now they want to spin the narrative that it was only fraud. Was there fraud? There's always fraud. It's an election in New Jersey. But it wasn't 13 points of fraud. And you can see where some local folks did really well on election day. And I think this is just another sorry excuse from the weak, incompetent leaders at the New Jersey Republican Party. They left so many candidates out to dry. Thankfully, our friend Greg Buontempo overcame it and won in Homedale. Thankfully, you overcame it and hold a strong lead in Old Bridge. I got to jump, Mark, but keep in touch. We'll talk in the next day or so. Let me know as these VBMs start coming in, because this is something, and what I'd really like to do, do you have an election attorney yet?
Yes, I got Tim.
Oh, Tim's great. Okay, yeah, of course. Tim. So Tim's all over this, because you could end up in court, and you got a great, great man in Tim House for sure. So let's keep talking. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Yeah, you take care. See, guys, that's the problem, right? The Republicans eat their own. They didn't want to hear local candidates and local campaigns. It's too ugly. We only want you if you're going to be lockstep with our nonsense. That's what went on in the assembly yesterday. That's why I called it out on the air and on social media. And I'm so happy that there are strong leaders, guys like Jay Weber, willing to stand up and say, no, we're not going to tolerate this nonsense. No wonder why the GOP loses credibility with the voters. All right, other side of traffic and weather, let's talk about what we got going on this weekend. Ron Cliff, you'll be first. 916, fast traffic and sit with our next.
Where you can stay connected to everything happening in Jersey. This is New Jersey 101.5.
All right, let's jump right back in. Next week, I'll be joined next Friday by my friend Michael Bowl with the New Jersey Veterans Network, which I'm proud to be on the board of directors and help them. And another great organization is our veteran farmers. And the head of that is Cliff, who is in Neshannock right now. And he joins me now to talk about veteran farmers in New Jersey and the great work that they are doing on behalf of our veterans. What's going on, Cliff? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bill. Hey, thanks for having me on the show. And first of all, thank you for your service to our country and for sponsoring the Veterans Friday. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Happy to do it. Thank you for what you do and being a part of it. So tell us about veteran farmers. What do people need to know? Where do they need to go to help out?
Yes. Okay. So the mission of the veteran farmers in New Jersey, our mission is to help any veteran get involved in ag or farming at any level, free of charge to our veterans. We provide mentoring, training, support, and fellowship. Anybody can go to vfnj.org. That is our website, part of NOFA. And put a shout out for NOFA New Jersey and Devin Cornea, who sponsors. We are a 501c3 under NOFA New Jersey. They can go on there. They can make a tax-deductible donation, Bill. Most importantly, and more importantly, any veteran out there listening, you want something to do, you're looking to get involved, gainful employment, go on our website, take our interest survey, become a member, let us help you.
The website, I just want to make sure I'm on it right now. This is the main landing page for you guys. It's NOFANJ. Is that right?
It's yes. Or you just go to vfnj.org on the internet. That'll bring you right up and land us on our
vfnj.org. I'm just doing that real quick. All right. So VFNJ, which is veteranfarmersnewjersey.org. And that will direct you to this NOFA page. So don't be confused if you see NOFA-NJ. That's just the landing page so you can make a donation, a tax-deductible donation, and support veteran farmers in New Jersey. Just real quick, I only got about 30 seconds left, Cliff. What can a returning vet get from the program that you offer? Give them a quick expectation.
So, Bill, a sense of community. We just befriended a new vet, served Navy 12 years. We had him out on a hazelnut tree orchard project, automatically plugged in with his veteran community, the fellowship, the networking, a sense of transition and belonging. And real quick, Bill, the other website, our Instagram, follow us on Instagram at VeteranFarmersNJ. That's all lowercase. I want to put a shout out to my daughter, Jasmine, who handles our PR for our Instagram. You can follow us there. And also, real quick, Bill, we have our mascot dog, Spark. He's being trained as a veteran therapy dog. We're looking for any veterinarian clinic to sponsor him and help him with his routine medical costs. He's the salt of the earth. They can go on Instagram and see pictures of him. And also, you can support our coffee sales as well.
I love it.
So that's kind of what we do, Bill, and we
Cliff, is that
wait? Talk to our vets.
Is that picture, Jasmine? That's your daughter, right? With that T-shirt.
Yep.
I love it. That where did she get that? That is a really cool T-shirt.
I don't know. She surprised me with that last night. Picture of me and her, and just amazing. And she's the salt of the earth, supporting her dad and our nonprofit.
I love it
to help our vets.
I'm with you on this mission 100%. Veteran Farmers of New Jersey, go to VFNJ.org. Find Veteran Farmers of New Jersey on Instagram and give them a follow. And if you can help at a number of these causes, getting our veterans connected with the agricultural community and learning some really critical skills and finding that camaraderie, that partnership, that network that will help you make that transition back to civilian life. Cliff, thank you, my friend. Always good to talk to you.
Thank you, Bill. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. That is Cliff Pristis, who runs Veteran Farmers of New Jersey. If you're a veteran looking to get into agriculture, looking for a real solid network of veterans as you make that transition back from your deployment into living in New Jersey, start with Cliff at VFNJ. And you know that this segment is all part of the Veterans Network, the New Jersey Veterans Network. So continue to support our veterans, and I will continue to use this microphone to help our many veterans across New Jersey. 927, Ron, you'll be first on the other side of the news, which is next. 937 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. As we wrap the show up today, we're getting close to the end. I want to go to Ron in Middletown. Ron, I got to give you a lot of credit, man. You have the patience of Job. Thank you for hanging on.
I've been married 44 years, Bill, so I can have a lot of patience.
So you totally get it. You're good to go. Oh, man. Yes. I'm celebrating my 31st wedding anniversary Wednesday. 31
Congratulations.
Years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But 44 years. Congrats. It's awesome.
We recently went to a wedding in Chicago, and a young couple got married the same day we did, December 12th.
How
and
cool.
We were there after a wedding and said, well, you got a few years to catch us, but just hang in there.
That's right. That's right. Marriage is a wonderful journey, isn't it, Ron? It's a wonderful journey, and we don't hear it celebrated enough today. I think, you know, people kind of look at like we're old-timers. We have 40 years, 30 years. I'm like, no, you don't understand. You find the right person, and you do. You become one, and it's amazing.
It's the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yeah, me
more
too.
More beautiful today than what day I married her.
I love it.
Went through some tough times like everybody, but you pull together and that's how you get through it.
You need don't that run away life partner. It. You need that, you know, you need that strength.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I have told people I couldn't have done, most of what I've been able to do without Jody as a support and a partner. So anyway, you got a church in Middletown that's got an event honoring veterans tomorrow. Tell me about it.
Yes, we're at 94 Tyndall Road in Middletown, right across the street from High School North. This is our 16th year. We have 6,000 flags on our front lawn.
Wow.
Displayed. We're known as a church of flags in Middletown. And at 11 o'clock tomorrow, we're having a small church service honoring our veterans. And we play all the themes from the military and present the flags. And, you know, it's just a nice, small community type event, but we'd like to invite all veterans and anybody who wants to honor veterans to come at 11 o'clock tomorrow to see our service.
I love it. Ron, give the church and the address one more time.
It's 94 Tyndall Road in Middletown. It's right across from High School North.
Right across from High School North in Middletown. That's awesome. That's awesome.
When you drive by, there's 6,000 flags on the front lawn, so it's kind of hard to miss.
I was going to say, drive to Middletown and look for the flags. You'll be fine. Ron, thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that.
Also,
go ahead.
I give another plug to Tower Hill Church in Red Bank is having a service at 4 o'clock on Sunday honoring their veterans, and they do a very nice job too.
Oh, that's fantastic. So, I love it. It's so important, especially for young people, to understand that this is a different than Memorial Day, but still important to know that men and women signed up for service and made the ultimate sacrifice, and there are plenty of veterans right now that served their time, came back, and they're trying to figure out how to make that transition from warrior to civilian. And it's not always easy. So we try to do this every Friday and just honor our veterans, and especially now with Veterans Day coming up on Monday. So thank you, Ron. Best to your wife. Have a great event.
Best to you, Bill.
We'll talk soon. You take care. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You got it. That was Ron in Middletown. Seriously, what a good guy. Hang on hour and a half through all the phones going down and all the crap we have to deal with sometimes here. I appreciate that he did that. So I wanted to just, I also want to thank Morgan, because Morgan from Morgan's Island Grill in Hightstown, what enthusiasm he had. And I want to thank Jay Weber. Jay Weber, member of the assembly, for just having the courage of his convictions to speak out when the party leadership just clearly does the wrong thing. And if you want to get, if you want to see some of my take, I'll put a lot of this onto the website probably Monday, to be honest. Give me the weekend to sort through all the breakdown and analysis that I did of the disaster on Tuesday. But in short, Tuesday was a real disservice to the state of New Jersey, to the voters, to moderate Democrats who, you know, held their nose to vote Democrat because they, you know, they don't support the insanity of the, you know, the alphabet soup mafia curriculum. They don't support the drag queens that are front and center at the NJEA convention, you know, and but the Republicans didn't give them a good enough choice. And that's the reality, you know. And again, this is, take this at face value, that the proof is in the evidence based on the results. This is not an opinion. When you go from a guy, Jack Cittarelli, who ran three times for governor, he got creamed by Chris Christie's lieutenant governor, Kim Guadagno, in the primary in 2017. Creamed. Then he came back in 2021 and got lucky because Doug Steinhardt took a pass. He was going to run. He started to run. And then for a variety of reasons, I'm sure many personal, perhaps financial, decided it wasn't for him. So he didn't run. And I have said this to Senator Steinhardt. If he had stayed in that race, he would have cleaned Jack's clock and probably would have been elected governor in 2021. But there you go. You make the decision and life moves on. So then Jack thought he just, losing by 3 points, he acted as if he had anything to do with that. Well, clearly what happened in 2021 is the Democrats sat on their votes. They wanted to give Murphy, teach him a lesson. He learned it. And they came back with a vengeance in 2025. You know, you look at some of the turnout numbers, and now the Jack people are trying to act like, the election was stolen. This is the guy that wouldn't stand up for the clear fraud that went down in 2021. This is a guy that wouldn't stand with President Trump with the clear fraud that went down in 2020. And now, because of their abysmal, horrible, disgusting performance on Election Day, taking down five members of the assembly and how many countless down ballot commissioners, mayors, etc. And now they want to say, well, it's impossible that Mikey Sherrill got 460,000 more votes than Murphy did. What are you talking about, impossible? You don't have 13 points of fraud. You got shellacked. And you're bragging attitude and narcissistic view cost New Jersey an opportunity to slow the roll of the Democratic takeover of the state. And now we got to rebuild. And you don't rebuild by going back to the same losers, whether they're the consultants or the lobbyists who ran their party into the ground, or the, as you see, the assembly minority leader getting reelected yesterday, but not in a fair way. You heard Jay Weber earlier, in a way that just shut down conversation. These guys are so weak, cowardly, spineless, with no principles, that they are afraid to even entertain a debate that would challenge their power. That's the problem with the Republican Party. And that's what we are going to fix. And I want to talk to all of you who are independents out there. We need to give you a reason to vote Republican. And that's what I'm going to work on in the next few years and build that, to give you a reason to cross into the Republican Party, get involved in the primary, help set a course and a course correction for this state. Because right now, the debt, the spending, the illegals, the rising crime, all of it's out of control. The assault on parental rights and everything in between. So we are going to fix it. I want you to stay tuned and stay with me and dig in, because I have never been more energized and more positive about what we're going to accomplish in the next few years. 9:46, fast traffic, instant weather next.
Connect to the show anytime by sending us a message through our app. Just tap on Chat with Hosts, only on New Jersey 101.5.
Fast traffic, instant weather every 15 minutes on New Jersey 101.5. It's 9:52 on New Jersey 101.5. You know what that means, Eric Potts. Time to go.
It means it's time to get the heck out of here.
It's time to go. It is time for the weekend. A lot of opportunity this weekend. A lot of events. The Flags in Middletown. I hope you can join me in Kinnelon. We're going to have a great event there starting at 10 o'clock tomorrow. Then Sunday between 8 and 11, a great car show helping the good folks at Homefront help families in need in the Trenton area. That's going to be at Kulak Arms, which is in Lawrenceville. Cool car show. Jody and I should get there probably around 10 o'clock. And then we're going to hit Mass at St. Anne's in Lawrenceville because I won't have time to get back to our church at St. Alphonsus. But that said, I want you to have a great weekend. I want you to think about some of the things that I've brought up over the past few days since Election Day. You know, we have to remain vigilant and we have to remain informed. And we're not going to save this state if we always find a third party to blame. We're only going to save the state if we look at ourselves and say, what, and I'm speaking to the Republicans now, what did we do wrong this time that we need to fix for next time? Why did Jack lose women almost 2-1? Why is it that the Republican Party is not appealing to the average working class, middle class folks out there? There's a reason for it. So we got to fix that. We got to work together. We got to toughen up. We need principled leaders who have moral character and integrity. I'll have a lot more for you next week. We'll be doing Small Business Monday on Monday. Get ready to plug your small business. And guys, to all the veterans out there, happy Veterans Day. Everyone, have a really outstanding weekend, and I will see you tomorrow at 6.